Good morning, everyone. That we're here. And I gave you 1 minute. I was going to start right at 9 o'clock for door prizes because we are going to do a door prize for everyone that was here right away. I know our door prize yell is kind of weak this morning, huh? I know.
Anthony Cinderella.
All right. What we have is we have $25 and a bag of chocolates from Silicon Valley Chapter. And the Anthony Cinderella, are you in the room?
My goodness.
Yay! Is that handsome Italian from Glendale, Burbank? All right. All right, Anthony. Wonderful. Well, welcome to the Sunday morning business meeting. I know where you are, so I'm going to go look for chocolate. Welcome to the Sunday morning business meeting. And we have a good agenda this morning. And before I give it over to resolutions, we will start with the reading of the Fall Convention Business Meeting Minutes. And you'll hear that our CCB secretary's voice has changed. So we will have the reading of the minutes. Are you set?
Yes.
You want me to give you
the
stand?
Yeah, the stand. Much better.
Okay.
Okay, these, I am reading these for Gabe, who was unavoidably detained this morning. And these are the minutes for the fall 2010 meeting of the California Council of Lyme at the San Diego Marriott Hotel in La Jolla, California. October 29th, elections were held for several offices and board positions. This is in grade one, so it's a little slower. The elected officers were Donna Pomeranz as president. Gee, fancy that. Gene Lozano as first vice president. Peter Pardini as treasurer. And Roger Peterson to fill the position of second vice president that Donna will be vacating. The board members elected were David Hanlon, Artis Bazin, Lena Bandy, David Jackson, and Vince Calderon. October 31st, meeting minutes. Gabe Griffith read the spring 2010 business meeting minutes, was approved and seconded. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. It was moved and seconded to accept the minutes. The motion passed unanimously. Resolutions. Lena Bandy gave the resolutions committee reports. There were six resolutions. One of these was withdrawn. For a complete report on resolutions, please see the summary of resolutions attached to these minutes. It was moved and seconded to accept the... Am I on? I guess I am. The resolutions committee report. The motion passed unanimously. Treasurer's report. Chris Gray gave the treasurer's report. He mentioned that we are now able to provide on a regular basis to the board a balance sheet showing the status of all financial accounts. The board can also receive a budget versus actual report throughout the year. All CCB audits are completely up to date at this point. Again, in 2010, CCB is running a deficit budget. Chris said that the board that the board acted on Thursday, October 28th, to not take advantage of an income opportunity. He encouraged the board and membership to work to balance the budget. In response to a question, Chris said that CCB has over $1 million in assets. However, many of these are partially, if not totally, restricted. Chris then discussed It's funny, you don't read grade one, so then for those of you who know Braille, then you all of a sudden have to read it completely, and it's like it's so slow.
It's like a different language,
yeah. Chris discussed investments and mentioned how we lost some, but have been starting to make much of those back since 2009. CCB has thought much about grants. Lily McRae is doing a great deal of work on behalf of CCB, investigating and applying for grants to try and assist CCB's finances. It was moved and seconded to accept the treasurer's report. The motion passed unanimously. Constitution and bylaws. Jerry Consular discussed the proposed amendments that would change the Constitution to change the name of the CCB meeting to, quote, conference and convention, and would add that it would sometimes be referred to as convention and could also be referred to as the meeting. It was moved and seconded to adopt the proposed amendment. The motion passed unanimously. It was then moved and seconded to accept the committee report. The motion passed unanimously. Old business, there was no old business. New business, there was no new business. The next convention will be held at the DoubleTree Hotel in Sacramento from May 12th to 15th, 2011. It was moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting. The motion passed unanimously. Respectfully submitted, Gabe Griffith, CCB Secretary.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve the minutes as read?
I so
move. And a second discussion. We have a question from the floor. Just 1 second.
Thank you. Jeff, could you reread that portion at the very beginning where it talks about the elections, who was elected?
Okay. Donna Pomerantz, Jean Lozano as first vice president, Peter Pardini as treasurer, Roger Peterson to fill the position of second vice president. Okay, we're now down to the board members. David Hanlon, Artis Bazin, Lena Bandy, David Jackson, and Vince Calderon.
Okay. Technically, Artis Bazin was elected to fill the vacated seat by Peter Pardini.
Okay, so I can.
Right.
So are you.
If you can place it the way that you, when you expressed Roger, and how he was seated on the board, if you can do that with Artis as well.
I have done so. What I did was Artis Bazin, who was elected to fill the. I'll write it in the same way that he wrote the other thing. Was elected to fill the... Whoops, the word's not coming here. The position that will be vacated by Peter Pardini, which is basically the same way he wrote it for... Sure.
Any other questions or discussion from the floor? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Before we go to the next item, I do have an announcement to make. And I am told that David and Melissa Hudson will be taking Muttstrut video. So if anyone is interested who wasn't able to go yesterday and is still here, they will be in 1102 from 10 to 12. They'll have to close up at 12 because my checkout is 1. So they'll need to break lights and everything down. So 10 to 12 if you were still interested in telling your story, as Melissa put it. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is Treasurer's Report. Do we have our wonderful Treasurer, Peter Pardini?
I'm going to give a summary Treasurer's Report. Basically, we have total assets in the organization in the amount of $1,223,615. Again, that's $1,223,615. I'm going to move on to the statement of income and expenses for the period January 1st to March 31st, 2011. During this period, we had total income in the amount of $55,685. During the same period, we had total expenses in the amount of $59,577, leaving a difference of a negative $3,891. And during this, the period January 1st to March 31st, we had other income from our investments in the amount of $27,471. If you add that to the negative amount, you get a grand total expenses in the amount of $23,579. At this point, I'll move on to our proposed budget. I'm going to go through. Is there a question? Okay, hearing none, the proposed 2011 budget.
Can we please have quiet? Thank you.
Income, REW and Associates, $22,000. TechLink Sanderson Group, $18,000. Vehicle Donation Processing Center, $33,000. Friends of CCB, zero. Affiliated chapter dues, $5,150. Members at large, $300. Life members, $400. Sustaining members, zero. Conventions, $35,000. Bequests, zero. Ellen Murphy Fund, zero. Contributions, $7,000. Scholarships, $5,500. Grants, $10,000. Grants, Newell Perry. The revised figure is $20,000. Active Blind Inc., $10,000. Miscellaneous, $1,600. MMS contributions, $3,600. Fundraisers, $10,000. Fundraisers Mutt Strut, $67,850. Legal settlements, $16,000. Educational settlement, $5,000. Dividends operating, $10,000. Loan repayment from borrower, at CEA loan repayment from borrower, $1,020. Leaving a total income, proposed budget in the amount of $286,420. Our proposed expenses, staff support, $81,500. Medical insurance, $30,000. Miscellaneous expenses, $1,800. Payroll tax expense, $8,800. Accounting services, $8,100. Audit fees, $9,500. Travel and transportation, $2,500. Telephone, $5,600. Vehicle insurance, $2,350. Public relations, $1,000. Membership development, $600. Rent, $28,000. Office insurance, $1,000. Workers' comp insurance, $950. Bond insurance, $170. Board of directors liability insurance, $2,400. Printing, $2,000. Printing BC, $13,000. License fees and property taxes, $300. Office supplies, $3,000. Postage, $1,100. Equipment rental, $1,760. Service contracts, $2,500. Office equipment expense, $1,500. Repairs and maintenance, $1,500. Web development, webmaster, $10,000. Board of directors, $3,500. Committee expenses, $3,000. Dues to organizations, $3,165. Conferences and seminars, $2,000. Sales tax expense, $350. Scholarship, $17,000. Grants to organizations, $0. Grants to individuals, $12,000. Convention, $61,000. Fundraising expenses and reimbursements, $3,000. Fundraising expense, Mutstrut, $18,000. CEA repayment, loan, $5,000. Total expenses, $351,001. The difference between our proposed income and expenses is a negative $64,581. This concludes my treasurer's report.
Do we have a motion to approve the treasurer's report as read?
Madam President, I have a question before the motion. It's going to be happening, I guess.
Do we have a second? A discussion?
Yeah, Peter, first, before I ask my question, I really want to commend Peter for the outstanding work that he's done, not just today, obviously, but...
Yay, Peter!
The board never had, you know, so much information at our board meeting, and it was great to have all that. Peter, if you have it right at your fingertips, can you give the body the income and expense for the entire 2010? Because of course we didn't have that at the last convention since it wasn't. Now, if you don't have it, then
let's. 2000 total income, $90,725. That's for total expenses for last year. Oh, I don't have it.
Okay. Could we then? Could I ask then that it be put in the next convention report, because I think that, you know, one of the things, in my view anyway, I don't know what others think, one of the things that the treasurer's report should probably have for the following year is what last year, the complete for last, just the gross numbers, that's all.
The actuals.
Yeah.
Madam Chair? Jeff, are you... finished with your...
I'm finished, yeah.
Okay. I recognize the lady from the floor, Judy, and just one second, we're getting the mic to you. And then after Judy...
If this is inappropriate, you know, I understand, but could we ask that number, in fact, be put into the minutes for this spring convention so that, in fact, it is part of the record of the minutes for this meeting?
I believe that that would be an appropriate request. And
did you say inappropriate?
Appropriate. It would be an appropriate request. And so, Judy, I need you to send me an email to remind me to make sure that I help Peter out, too.
Yeah, if you could send me, it's just CC the both of us.
Just CC us. You know, whenever you send emails, send them to me, CC Peter. We're both in the loop on everything together, so thank you. Sam, let's raise your hand so I can find you.
Thank you, Peter, for all the work you have done. May I ask, you know, the major category of the total income that you just gave us at the first quarter of 2011?
Yes.
The major category of the total income and category of the expenses, and you said that there are other incomes. And where would that be coming from? Just, I would like to get a picture of that.
Other incomes are from our investments that we have. And like money we receive from our, you know, we have a certain number of investment accounts, dividends, and unrealized gains and losses. So, Sam, what I could do, if you send me, I can send you, and anybody who wants a copy of a more detailed treasurer's report, I'd be more than happy to send the information to you in an appropriate format. So just let the office know, and I'll get it over to you.
I'd like to have a kind of a rough picture of the income, and then see, you know, in the future how likely that income is going to come again. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we got a pretty good chance of the stock market's doing pretty well. So I think we really have a pretty good chance of achieving our, well, having the sustained level. But when we prepare our budget, we do not necessarily, we basically look at other monies besides our stock accounts when we prepare the budget, so it really doesn't have an impact. Hope that answers your question.
And how about expenses? What are the major category expenses?
Well, I mean, we have basically the major our salaries and convention expenses are pretty much the. Again, it'd be better if I could send you the information.
We definitely do have the detail.
We have the detail.
We don't have it this morning here with us, but we need you, and I'm speaking to Sam, but I'm speaking to everyone else in this room. If you would like to see the detail, Peter is very willing to share that with you. So let the office know, and we will get it to you in whatever format you request. But we don't have that level of detail this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Please call the office so you can see it. Any other questions from the floor?
Yes, I have a question.
I hear Bernice first, and then I hear a lady in the back. So if you could raise your hand, and well, you've got a mic. Okay.
Okay. Peter, could you just restate what the expected income is from dues, membership dues?
Affiliated chapter dues, $5,150.
Okay, and then members at large is another?
Members at large?
$300.
Okay.
Okay, lady in the back, please.
Okay, this is Ruby, and I want to ask if we could entertain the motion again of the more completed report in this agenda's minutes, because it'll keep things current.
So you are making a motion? Oh, wait, hold
or
on.
Add, or, just
actually,
just addressing it that we need to vote on it? Or
you want it specifically in the minutes,
yes,
the detailed
report? Yes,
because
it keeps it current to the report for this time.
That's not the request.
Okay. What I need you to do is after we accept this report, I'll need you to make a separate motion because we're having discussion on the current motion that is on the floor.
Okay.
So we'll need to finish this. So remember that. Hold that thought, please. Okay. Any other questions from the floor? All in favor accepting the treasurer's report as read, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, now I'd like to make a motion that we add the total expenses for the year in the minutes of this treasurer's report.
2010.
Of 2010?
Yeah.
It would actually be, if I could... if I could do a little friendly wordsmith, if you could say specifically in the minutes of the 2011 convention business meeting, then we'd have it. Spring convention.
Okay.
Thank you. I got it from Roger and I got it from a lady on the left, so that was perfect. Okay, all in I'm sorry, do we have a second? Gene seconded and several others. Any more discussion on this item?
Yes.
Judy calls for the floor.
I think in essence, and I'm not going to make a motion, and I realize that what we're asking for in general is a bit more complete treasurer's report at the Sunday morning business meeting at each convention.
Well,
Madam President,
yes, Jeff.
I'm going back to what I asked for. I wasn't really asking for anything more complete. I think what Peter did was fine. I just wanted the gross income and gross expense figure from last year. Okay, that's fine. We're in agreement.
That's what she's saying she's wanted, yes. Okay. Any more discussion on this? All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. I just want to say thank you so very much, Peter. This was a treasurer's report that folks were able to ask a number of questions about different figures. You've done a lot of work. Peter and I email each other sometimes at 12 midnight about different things. So, the communication, I just want to let you know, is there. We are talking and emailing back and forth on a daily basis. And Peter has been a great support throughout this convention, keeping, track on our numbers and our minimums and everything. So let's all give a wonderful warm hand for Peter.
Thank you very much, Donna. And again, if anybody has a suggestion on a way that we can get additional revenue into the CCB into the California Council of the Blind, please let Donna or myself know, or anybody else on the board of directors. Again, I really want to encourage people to get behind the mud strut, because we do need to increase the income for CCB. Otherwise, we're going to have more difficult times ahead of us. But with everybody's help, I know we can do it. So just support the mud strut, and if you guys have any other suggestions for income sources that CCB can look into, let Don or myself know, or the board of directors. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. Roger Peterson is calling for the floor. I was going to get to a next agenda item, but I'll recognize Roger.
This is a new board member question. Is there some mechanism by which we will receive the modified version of these? Like, there, we changed some figures during the board meeting the other night, so our total proposed budget and so on are not quite right anymore. I just wondered if there's a mechanism for for getting that updated at some point.
Yes, it'll be updated very shortly, Roger, because I need to get this into our QuickBooks. It'll be, and you guys will receive it in your appropriate format. Again, any member who wants a copy of the proposed budget is more than happy. Just contact the office, and we'll get it over to you.
But don't let go of the microphone. The next item on the next item on our agenda is Constitution and Bylaws. Jerry Consler is committee chair, but Jerry was not able to come due to some family conflict. And no, his family's fine. I mean, there was a big event or something to that effect that was planned way in advance. So I am going to ask our second vice president, who is also on the Constitution Bylaws Committee, to please give a short report. Thank you, Roger.
Okay, the Constitution and Bylaws Committee met on Friday afternoon, and we had a few members there. We did not have any proposed amendments, but we got into a discussion. One of the new kid on the block was Dave Jackson came to the meeting, and we got into a discussion about how the Constitution and Bylaws Committee and the membership committee should communicate and get make sure that we are all on the same page about getting people's rosters and money in on time and making the credentials form read correctly and all that administrative stuff. And we also, David was very interested in, as membership chair, in working with us on the looking at the constitutions and bylaws of the chapters and affiliates and helping them if they need help to update those and make them, compliant with all of our, with the few requirements that we have of chapters and affiliates. So that was really the sum and substance of the meeting. And David and I presume Jerry is, will be talking about all that. And I just wanted to say to you, Madam Chair, as part of this, that I don't know, I haven't talked to Jerry too much about, he said something to me about not being sure how much he was going to be able to come to conventions. And so I don't know whether we want to revisit who's on the committee or whether it's still under construction or whatever. But anyway, that's all I have to say, I think.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report as read? Do I have a second?
Second.
And discussion? I heard Judy again in the back there.
Madam Chairman, does the office have a master copy of everybody's, every chapter's constitution and affiliates' constitution and bylaws?
The office has copies of the latest version that the chapters have sent them.
So, in other words, if the chapters have sent them, you've got them.
Absolutely, yes.
And so, if you do want them, I'm assuming that is something. I don't know whether that's written, but we should be sending.
We're supposed to send them.
Yes, you should. Yeah. Basically, every chapter, and maybe this is part of when we do, I've been hearing calls for wanting to do another chapter president, vice president, maybe just having an officer's training at a convention. And I'm hearing from a number of folks that are saying, well, I'm not quite sure, I have this. Do I keep it? Who do I send it to? I worked with a number of people regarding the credentials, the rosters, the, you know, and so on. And what that's telling me is that folks need help and folks have questions. And so your constitutions, anytime you make any changes, it needs to go to the office, and the office is very good. Ed and Lily are great at letting me know when things come in. I have lots of email, you know, telling me, got this from this chapter. They were wonderful, by the way. Ed was great when we were collecting rosters and dues and credentials. That's why those that were on lists and some that got calls, you know, that was the reason that we were able to constantly reach out.
Ed is the only person that ever calls me on my cell phone.
That was the only reason that we were able to reach out so proactively and say, you know, we don't have this yet. Do you need some help? Because we're here to assist.
Does that mean, Madam Chairman, that we can actually request those documents from the office?
You mean as individual members, as a chapter president, and those documents, meaning which documents?
Meaning the bylaws and constitution. And I'm speaking
yes.
now as the president of an affiliate.
Yes, you absolutely.
Or a committee. Yeah.
Yes, so and the office will send you the most current copies that they have.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Jean calls for the floor, and then I heard, I think, a woman's voice after that, very faint in the back. So we'll give Jean my mic.
I for us to be proactive, it's readily available on request, but perhaps the most recent edition of the state CB constitution should be sent to each chapter president right now, so that everyone has it, and if they then would be encouraged to sit down in the chapter meeting and go over them, read it, because a lot of the questions you were just sharing with are in the bylaws, and I think they'd find their answers, or a lot of them would be there. And so let's be certain that all the chapters do have the most recent edition, especially since they probably, many of the chapters have a brand new president, having started out, and they may not have transferred that information, the records, to the new president. So everyone getting one, each president of the chapter that I mean.
I have no problem doing that. I just wrote myself a note, and we will. Give us about 2 or so weeks, though, because the office will be closed for a few days. They need to recover. There was actually a lady in the back with a very faint voice who called for the floor first, and then we will go to David.
I just wanted to ask, online, the one that's online, isn't that 2009?
Yes.
Is that the latest version?
What it is, it has the wrong header, but it is the most recent version.
Yeah, because for us that need direction, we need to know exactly if
right.
it is the right one.
Bernice, can you?
Thank you.
No, it's the header is still 2009. And so we will go ahead and get taken care of. Thank you. David.
Good morning. This is David Jackson. I am the state membership chair. And Jean is correct that you all should have constitutions. The other item that you also should have is the president's manual. Every president should have this manual with these two documents, these two instruments. You are going to be able to alleviate roadblocks, making mistakes, administrative kinds of issues. I would suggest that you get both of these items. They're very important in your arsenal. It's just important to have.
And somebody in a nice, firm, strong voice said, and where is it? Your presidents are on the president's listserv. Hopefully, are actively monitoring that listserv. And if, and there are two people from each chapter who are on that listserv, the president and their designee. I will say that some presidents aren't on there at all. They have a designee. We need you to monitor that president's listserv because it was actually sent out on the president's listserv with a request from David saying, if you want any alternate formats besides this electronic copy, call me and let me know. And he sent out a plea probably twice. And he calls me after a few weeks and says, what do I do? Have they contacted you? Have they contacted artists? I haven't heard anything. Maybe no one wants it. You know, what can we do to motivate folks? It's here. And so you need to... David will put another plea out on the list.
Well,
maybe that's something we should just send out to each chapter president.
Donna, what I'm going to make this plea public right now. It's available.
Yes,
it's
it
available.
Is. Available.
So if you're a delegate or you're an alternate, your president isn't here, or if you're a president,
mm-hmm.
this instrument is available for your chapter. If I'm reachable. I'm on the connection. I'm on the president's list. I'm making it official. You can contact me anytime you want, and you can get this. I'll put another plea out, but you got to contact me, okay, folks? Because it's there.
And Gene wants the floor, so hold on.
I made the request that every chapter have a president's manual. Let's be proactive when having both documents go there out. And also, and I'm sorry that I got too close. I apologize. The other thing is, I would like to request that in addition to the bylaws, constitution bylaws, and the president's manual, that a copy be sent to every board member of CCB. I've never seen the president's manual. And I've been a chapter in the past, a chapter president, and never seen or knew of it until very recently. So I think it would be good for all of us that are in a leadership role in this organization to have that.
I have... Hold on. I've made myself a note. And we will contact... We know the formats that board members... Can we please have quiet? Thank you. We know board members' formats, and we'll send them out to chapter presidents. I just wrote a note to myself to do so. So we will make it happen. Okay. Now, we were discussing... Hold on one second. Did that question happen after the motion? Yes. It was all this happened under the Constitution and Bylaws report. And we had a motion and a second. We had lots of discussion. Remember, you can contact any of us at any time. All in favor to accept the report of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very, very much. And I'm happy to hear the interest that I'm hearing out there. So this is good. Okay. Do we have... Wait. I went down too much. There it is. The next item on our agenda is resolutions. And before we get into resolution, shall we do one door prize? All right. We should pick Keith because he said it so polite.
This is a silk purse with fortune cookies in it from Andelin Barrel Press, Lynn Laird, and $25 from San Francisco Chapter.
We have a wonderful purse that was donated by Lynn. Is that another one of the ones that had fortune cookies in there? Has fortune cookies. They're gorgeous little purses. Oh, I wanted one. They're Braille fortune cookies here from the background. And there's cash as well, right? How much was the cash? How much was the cash?
$25
from San Francisco Chapter. And the winner is Richard Drueda. Richard said he'd like me to take it home to him. Oh, no, sorry. You know, you guys are too smart. I can't do it. Okay. Beryl Brown, are you in the room?
Oh.
Oh, next.
She would have liked the purse.
You are here?
All right.
Oh, it's Judy. Oh, Judy. I'm here too. Donna Pomerantz, come on. Donna Pomerantz, yes, come on.
Rosemary Robinson.
Rosemary Robinson?
There's a name I don't know.
No, Rosemary, come on. Donna Pomerantz, yeah. Everyone say Donna Pomerantz, Donna Pomerantz.
Irene Nunez.
Irene Nunez, are you in the room? All right. Yay, Irene.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, give it over to Jeff Tom, who will be giving the resolutions on behalf of the committee. He is our new resolutions chair. Give him a warm hand.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll get to that in a second. First, I want to thank all my committee members. There are two that weren't unable to be here due to different, you know, things that came up. Lena Bandy and Charles Navarrete. I want to thank our staff person, and I hope he comes to many more meetings. So let's hear it for Frank Welty.
Yay!
So, you know, it's sure great having his insightful comments. Let me give a shout out to all my great committee members. Robert Wendt, I don't even have these in alphabetical order, but hopefully I'll get you all. Robert Wendt, Jean Lozano, Linda Perel, Gabe Griffith, Dirk Neihardt, and I don't think I skipped anybody. They were excellent. They were all put in a lot of time this weekend. I want to thank all the mentors that came. I want to thank other people. Donna put in a lot of time at the committee. There were others. So I want to thank everybody that participated in the process. And I want to encourage you, the membership, to sit in on our meetings as a learning experience. You know, you may find it terribly boring. You may find it terribly interesting. But I think it's a learning experience because what you're able to do, and I would also encourage people in a national in Reno to sit in once in a while, you really learn the sort of intricacies of issues by sitting in on these because you get to hear the back and forth discussions. And really, these are the issues that this organization is deciding to pursue. So I encourage people to sit in on this. Okay, we had 14 resolutions. Two are going to be our form ones. We'll deal with those. Three were withdrawn. I'm going to tell you about those and what's happening with those first. And then we'll go to the, you know, that are 11 that are left. 2006, this was a resolution brought by the president and the committee, basically, dealt with payment of rates by the Department of Rehabilitation for students who have been admitted to four-year institutions during their first 2 years of college. And we are going to be requesting assistance. We haven't come to a consensus yet on how to deal with it, and we're requesting assistance from the Rehabilitation Services Committee. And it's very possible we'll have this issue back before you, but we're not ready yet.
You said 2011, 86?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2011 A6. We have 2011 A11 from RSVC on the DORZ for collection of commissions from certain post office vending facilities. And this is withdrawn. We're going to wait for more to happen on this issue, and we may or may not have to take more action on it. The other one is 2008-12. This came to us from Ramona Craig. It's on Safeway.com, and it was withdrawn for now. But we're requesting that Donna is going to submit a request to the technology committee that they take a look at this so that we can have enough information to determine what kind of a resolution, if any, we need to bring forth at the next convention so that we can be more thoroughly in touch with the issues at hand. Okay, so having got to that, I'm going to pull up the first one here. Resolution 2001, Disaster Preparedness. This was originally brought to us by Sam Chen with work from others, including members from the Silicon Valley chapter. Whereas the California Council of the Blind has long advocated for disaster preparedness standards and for plans that are fully accessible to and meet the needs of persons who are blind or have low vision. And whereas implementation of disaster plans in both this country and abroad has uncovered significant problems for persons who are blind or visually impaired, including but not limited to inaccessible warning and notification messages, lack of provisions to accommodate service animals, and lack of training of emergency preparedness personnel. And whereas the Federal 21st Century Telecommunication Video Accessibility Act now requires emergency notification messages to be accessible to those with visual impairments. And whereas state standards are in place that attempt to ensure that disaster preparedness plans meet the needs of persons with disabilities, including those with visual impairments. And whereas, notwithstanding the proactive work of the California Office of Emergency Services, CalEMA, in adopting these standards, the degree to which local emergency preparedness plans address the concerns expressed in this resolution varies widely throughout the state. Now, therefore, be it resolved, excuse me, and I'm going to read the boilerplate once, and I'm not going to read the boilerplate every other time, by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 15th day of May, 2011, at the DoubleTree Hotel in the city of Sacramento, California, that this organization strongly urge CalEMA to audit, as expeditiously as practicable, the state's local emergency preparedness agencies to determine the degree to which local disaster preparedness plans are meeting the needs of persons with visual impairments. And be it further resolved that this organization urge CalEMA to continue developing, in conjunction with appropriate stakeholders, including consumer organizations of persons who are blind or have low vision, training for local emergency preparedness agencies on meeting the needs of persons with visual impairments. The committee recommends that do pass, and I so move.
We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Resolution approved.
All right. Thank you. So,
Madam Chairman, the grammatical construction is this organization urges.
Okay, I'm going to address that.
So throughout.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. And now, I'm not going to stand, you know, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm going to address that.
I'm just saying.
No.
Wait, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
No, I'm not even going to disagree with her.
It doesn't matter if you're going to disagree or not disagree. Were you finished with your comment?
Yes.
Okay. And you're saying that you're making this comment as an overall. What I would say is in the discussion item, that is when you should make that comment if it pertains to that resolution and state such. I will recognize Jeff.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Madam President. This has been sort of an ongoing discussion item, back and forth, and I would recommend that you come to one of our, perhaps our first meeting in the fall, because we've actually had that discussion many a time, and there are advocates of both positions for different reasons, and so I would not recommend changing them all in this, because the committee actually came to, unless this body wants
unless
to
the body
this,
wants, yeah.
Because this committee actually had this discussion, and this is precedent that has been set. And I'm not saying what's right or wrong, because I happen to be maybe on the other side of this, but I think that, you know, come to our meeting, let's have a discussion. This is an open issue.
Absolutely. Come to the fall meeting and address the committee. Believe it or not, you guys probably don't believe it, but please do. There have been hearty, passionate discussions in the resolutions committee advocating for both sides. So Judy, please come to the fall meeting of resolutions and state your case. I'm sorry? Oh, I know, but come state your case. Yeah, please. Right. I realize. What I'm wanting to do is avoid chaos. I'm not saying that anyone's wrong or anything. I just want to maintain control so that we don't have chaos, is all. Because we can all get real passionate, even if we talk about a word or anything like that. So that's all I was doing. I was not at all, saying you were wrong, or it's just we need to keep order. Okay. So come to the fall meeting. Okay, Mr. Resolutions Chair, next resolution, please.
Okay, this is resolution 2011-A2, and it's a little bit long, so bear with us. Purchasing of equipment for blind and low vision clients of the Department of Rehabilitation and state employees, and this emanated out of a board resolution. Okay, whereas for many years, the Department of General Services and Department of Rehabilitation have utilized a state price schedule for use in the purchase of equipment, including computers, software, and peripherals for Department of Rehabilitation clients and state employees with visual impairments. And whereas the schedule allows for the establishment of a list of pre-approved vendors for each of the many products that comprise a complete computer system, including software and peripherals. And whereas the system was established by the Department of General Services in light of the fact that such a system will enable an end user to receive the complete array of products purchased as part of a computer system from one vendor. And whereas the Department of General Services proposed to replace the system of pre-approved vendors under the state price schedule with a system of single-source statewide contracts governing products purchased as part of a computer system for clients of the Department of Rehabilitation and state employees who are blind or have low vision. And whereas the result of such a system is that only one vendor would exist for each product purchased as part of the computer system, and thus multiple vendors would almost certainly be used when purchasing a system that includes a computer, software, and peripherals for a Department of Rehabilitation client or state employee with a visual impairment. And whereas the savings, if any, that might accrue from implementation of such a system would be more than offset by increased setup and training costs that would result from the use of multiple vendors. And whereas the use of multiple vendors for the purchasing of the products that comprise a computer system for Department of Rehabilitation clients and state employees with visual impairments will create numerous problems, including, but not limited to, a far greater likelihood that system components such as software versions and hardware will not be compatible, difficulties in determining which vendor will be responsible when compatibility occurs, determining which vendor will be responsible for putting the system together, and using a vendor for training that may not be qualified for the task. And whereas these problems are likely to create delays in the receipt of a fully functioning system that can jeopardize or lead to the termination of the employment of a Department of Rehabilitation client and to costly interruptions in the ability of a state employee to perform his or her job. And whereas, once the computer system is finally in place, the client or state employee will be faced with the difficulty of determining which is the appropriate vendor for obtaining technical support. And whereas, given that this new policy would neither save money nor lead to increased competition and would create barriers to the employment of persons with visual impairments, it is essential that this proposal be modified so as to ensure that the new policies retain the positive aspects of the state price schedule that allow the necessary flexibility to enable Department of Rehabilitation clients and state employees to obtain fully functioning computer systems that meet their individualized needs, along with appropriate training, in a timely manner. And whereas, pursuant to a resolution outlining these concerns adopted by the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind on January 27, 2011, the CCB president and staff met with both the Department of Rehabilitation and the Department of General Services in order to discuss these issues and received assurances that whatever new system was to be developed would fully address our concerns. And whereas, neither department informed this organization of the initial proposal to modify the computer products procurement system, and whereas there are continued concerns that these departments are in violation of discussions with this organization, failing to share information on the proposed modifications, thus denying this organization the opportunity to work toward reasonable computer product procurement system, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization strongly endorse the concerns expressed by its Board of Directors in the January 27, 2011 resolution, and be it further resolved that this organization strongly urge the Department of General Services and the Department of Rehabilitation in adopting any modifications to the procurement system for purchase of computer products for department clients and state employees with visual impairments to ensure that these individuals are able to obtain fully functioning computer systems that meet their individualized needs along with appropriate training in a timely manner. And be it further resolved that the Department of Rehabilitation and the Department of General Services immediately recommence discussions with this organization regarding the changes to the proposed procurement system, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the Director of the Department of General Services, the Director of the Department of Rehabilitation, and any other officials that the President of this organization deems appropriate. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second? Do we have any discussion? Oh, sorry. wait a minute. Yes, do we have discussion? Okay. Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Jeff?
Okay, we're pulling it up here, and we have... this is number three, and... Frank Welty, as well, and this is also supported by, I believe, is that correct, Frank, the GDUC?
Yes.
Okay. This is resolution 2011A3, and relates to Guide Dog Board extension. Okay. Whereas the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, Guide Dog Board, is scheduled to sunset on January 1, 2012. And whereas the legislature has not yet been able to hold a hearing for an examination or evaluation of the board's effectiveness, efficiency, and transparency. And whereas the legislature is considering SB 543 by Senator Curran Price, which would, among other things, extend the Guide Dog Board's repeal date to January 1, 2014. thus giving the legislature time to review the board's operations during a sunset review hearing to be held in 2013. And whereas members of the California Council of the Blind and of Guide Dog Users of California look forward to participating in the Guide Dog Board's sunset review, now therefore be it resolved, the California Council of the Blind, that this organization support SB 543. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay, I have to.
Thank you very much. Next resolution, please.
It's going to just a little bit. More time to get down to number four here, but we'll get there in a second.
Well, I know what I can do.
Okay.
Oh, he got it. We'll wait next time. He's fast.
This is dealing with AB 727. Okay. Whereas it was submitted by RSVC. Whereas the Business Enterprises Program for the Blind, BEP, has a number of state vending facilities, and whereas these BEP vendors will be severely affected by AB 727, which would, if enacted, increase from 35% to 100% the amount of healthy food as determined under FDA nutrition guidelines, required to be contained in vending machines in these facilities. And whereas if AB 727 is enacted, many state employees and other potential customers will, instead of buying products from BEP vendors, use outside businesses to purchase items such as candy bars, chips, cookies, etc. And whereas AB 727 is discriminatory toward one class of business men and women, blind vendors, since it applies only to these business operators. And whereas BEP vendors already comply and in many cases exceed the requirements of existing law to provide 35% healthy food in their facilities, and whereas the enactment of AB 727 will have a devastating impact on the income earning capacity of many BEP vendors, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization strongly oppose AB 727. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay.
Oh, he's fast.
Now are on. We're going to shed a little light on the subject, or maybe not, with 2011 A5 on incandescent light bulbs.
That was.
Whereas President George W. Bush signed into law the National Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007, NEIS. For the purchase of reducing the dependence of the United States on foreign and unsustainable energy sources and the risks of climate change. Whereas Section 321 of this Act restricts the sale of regular incandescent light bulbs in favor of compact fluorescent lights starting in 2012. And whereas this section requires the initiation of a rulemaking procedure to determine whether more restrictive standards on the manufacture of incandescent light bulbs should be adopted by 2014 to address environmental considerations based on prescribed sales data collected from manufacturers. And whereas the California Council of the Blind, including its special interest affiliate, California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, CCCOV, believes that this section of NEIS imposes, by providing for additional restrictions on the sale of incandescent light bulbs, significant limitations on the independence and functioning of people with low vision, and diminishes their ability to fully participate in society. And whereas persons with low vision require appropriate illumination in order to have optimal visual function, function, excuse me. Since the eyes of each person with low vision respond differently to various light sources, such as fluorescent, halogen, light-emitting diodes, and incandescent lighting. And whereas incandescent lighting works best for people with low vision to read, cook, sew, and perform other daily tasks, while the wrong lighting causes headaches, eye strain, and glare, and reduces the ability to independently function optimally at home and in the workplace. And whereas people with low vision, that is caused by many different eye conditions, require a variety of lighting options. And whereas the CCB and its special interest affiliate, CCCLV, are very concerned that NEOS will lead to the discontinued sale of the conventional incandescent light bulb. And whereas Representative Joe Barton, Republican Texas, and Senator Mike Enzi, Republican Wyoming, have introduced H.R. 91 and S. 395 respectively, that would repeal Section 321 of NEOS, albeit for reasons other than the effects of compact fluorescent lights and other lighting sources on people with visual impairments, and where it is essential to the well-being of people who have low vision that the restrictions on the sale of incandescent light bulbs be delayed until such time as a suitable alternative lighting source can be found that both meets the needs of this population and addresses environmental concerns. And now, now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization urge that conventional incandescent light bulbs of all wattages should continue to be available while manufacturers and researchers work on producing a light source that uses less electricity while retaining the same lighting characteristics as incandescent light bulbs. And be it further resolved that this organization support H.R. 91 and S. 395, whether or not amended, to address the need for development of a lighting standard that will meet both the concerns of the low vision community and general environmental concerns. And be it further resolved that this organization transmit a copy of this resolution to the American Council of the Blind, ACB, for consideration by the ACB Board of Directors or at the 2011 ACB National Conference and Convention. Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Manager.
Is that Mike Keithley?
Yes.
Raise your hand so we can get a mic to you.
I really appreciate the resolution. And
can you come close?
I really appreciate the resolution, and the thing I'm concerned about are these HR bills, which are in favor of the incandescent lights, but they're not apparently not using our reasoning. And I'm wondering what they are first, and has it been considered? Has the consideration be given to that if these bills pass, what consequences they are to us because of the content of the bills? Thank you.
And I'm not trying to speak on behalf of the Bernice's organization, but we looked at this whole thing, and both bills would repeal. Boy, it's been a long convention. Repealed that specific section to deal with the lighting. So if they were to pass, as it even now, maybe it's not what we want, but it would repeal that whole section. So therefore, the incandescent light bulb would no longer be affected. So that's what if these two bills pass, then incandescent light bulb would be preserved, and we'd go from there.
If I could clarify for Mike what we heard in committee, Mike, was that the reasons that they are introducing the bills are just because the industry wants them introduced, not because of vision people. So we're just saying it's bills for different reasons, but they're still, you know, pursuing the same goal that we want. Does that clarify for you any?
Michael mentioned something, and maybe, Jeff, I may have missed something, but did we, in that resolve, because I know originally we did have it, did it say what we were saying, that it should be amended to say, to what it, to include the concerns?
It says whether or not amended to include. I can read the resolve if you want.
Yeah, I'd just like to hear, because
sure.
We had it, like what the amendments would be doing, what the amendment would be. And I'm here now as if we say amended, but we don't even say what they amended to what about, what it is supposed to amend.
Sure. I'll read all the resolves because that gives a clear picture. So let me just do that again. This organization urged that conventional incandescent light bulbs of all wattages should continue to be available while manufacturers and researchers work on producing a light bulb that uses less electricity while retaining the same lighting characteristics as incandescent bulbs. And be it further resolved that this organization support H.R. 91 and S-35, whether or not amended, to address the need for development of a lighting source that will meet both the concerns of the low vision community and general environmental concerns.
Okay, I see. That takes care of the issue. Just one little thing, perhaps, and I don't know whether a committee member can make a friendly amendment to the motion, but I believe in the one of the whereas is it says the California Council of the Blind Special Interest Group, and it gives the acronym, and I think we should spell out the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision.
We did the first time, and then we abbreviated it.
Okay.
So it's there.
I apologize.
That's fine.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, you didn't at the outset say who submitted this resolution. Is it CCLV that submitted it?
Yes.
Because I'd like to, you know, I want to know
yes,
that
no,
we
you're
had
absolutely
it from
correct.
The expert's
that,
mouth.
My error.
Thank you.
No, I don't, probably didn't.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next resolution, please.
Uh-oh, what's happening? Okay, so 6 was withdrawn, as we know. And now we're on 7, which deals with local elections. And this was submitted by, this was sort of a committee. I mean, this is an issue that's been kicking around for a while. People like Abby Vincent and many other people. I know Artis has mentioned it, and Donna. There's a lot of people. And the committee wrote it up. This is one that's been sort of brewing, you might say. Whereas, percolating may be even more vivid. Okay. Yeah. Whereas the right to cast a private independent ballot is an integral element of the democratic process at all levels of government. And whereas voters who are blind or visually impaired must have the option to use accessible voting equipment in order to fully exercise the right to vote privately and independently. And whereas the Help America Vote Act, HAVA, requires that all voting precincts operating during federal elections, and state law requires that all precincts operating during state elections must contain at least one accessible polling station. And whereas because these laws do not apply to local elections, many local governments refuse to provide accessible polling stations during elections, even though the accessible voting equipment is available. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization call upon local governments to use and, when appropriate, share available accessible voting equipment in local elections. And be it further resolved that if local governments do not voluntarily make accessible voting equipment available during local elections, this organization pursue a strategy that may include the seeking of legislation to require these entities to provide accessible voting equipment during such elections, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to each local chapter president of the California Council of the Blind and to the American Council for the Blind for consideration at its 2011 conference and convention. And the committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second? Any discussion? Any discussion? Who's calling for the floor? I hear two ladies. Is it Donna? Don Wilcox?
I want to.
And then Judy.
This is Don from Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Should I start? I'm
guilty.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Is it okay for me?
Yes, to please.
I went in 2004, Silicon Valley. I ran a survey as a result of that election when we first had those, and we got a lot of data back. It got picked up nationally. It became a huge thing. I gave it over to Noel Runyon to run to work on this issue, and he's still working on it. So I'd like to know: Does this put in there about the safety issue? Because he found out that most of these machines were incompatible with making them safe, and he could break into those things in 2 minutes and put 400 votes for somebody. Before that, I thought they were great. But I just want to be sure that we're indicating if they've solved that problem.
Okay, this doesn't involve that particular dispute.
Okay. We have another lady, and I'm not sure.
Christy.
Was it Christy first?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Oh, boy.
I actually, when I was passing by, Mike said, "Of," but he sometimes he tunes me out. Okay, Lisa.
If you've ever had the opportunity to use these machines, it's really great to be able to vote independently. And the elections people, many of them hate setting it up because they're kind of complicated. And but if you have if you'll show people that people really use these machines, if you come and exercise your right to vote independently.
Okay.
I've used the machines, and they're really great.
Okay. And we're actually straying off a little bit.
Sorry.
Of the subject. Any discussion specifically on this motion? On this resolution? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Next resolution.
Okay. This deals with reductions in state programs. This is number 8, and I guess I submitted this. I am very sure in this case. I take pride in this one. Whereas in an attempt to remedy, well, I take pride in what it's going to do. I don't know if I take pride in the wording, but I take pride in what it's going to do. And even if I don't know what name this organization uses, I take pride in it. Whereas in an attempt to remedy the state's fiscal crisis, the legislature has enacted in the past 3 fiscal years reductions in health and safety services, education, transportation, and other services vital to the Californians who are blind or vision impaired. And whereas, for a variety of reasons, these reductions have been far from sufficient to solve the state's fiscal problems, and whereas at the outset of Governor Brown's term, the Department of Finance estimated that the state would have a $25 billion deficit through June 30, 2012, and whereas although current projections for 2011-12, for the 2011-12 fiscal year, Whereas, although current projections of 2011-12 fiscal year's revenue exceed earlier estimates, these increased revenues are not likely to significantly decrease the budget deficit. And whereas, in response to the Department of Finance's determination, the governor challenged the legislature to adopt program reductions and to place revenue enhancement measures on the ballot that would, in equal parts, fill this budget gap. And whereas in March 2011, the legislature enacted budget reductions for the remainder of the 2011 fiscal year and the 2011-12 fiscal year that essentially meet the governor's target for closing one half of the budget deficit through program cuts. And whereas these reductions occurred in a variety of programs impacting the daily lives of Californians who are blind or have low vision, including the Medi-Cal and Healthy Families Program, SSISSP, in-home supportive services, PRENS IHSS, and services for seniors and children. And whereas the legislature made these reductions despite largely uncontroverted evidence as to the devastating results that some of the reductions would have. And whereas the governor's reduction proposals, most of which were adopted by the legislature, largely exempted K-12 education. But the governor has consistently reminded the legislature that if revenue measures are not adopted, both K-12 and post-secondary education programs will be forced to incur dramatic funding reductions, and that additional reductions in health, social, and other programs will need to be made. And whereas the legislature has refused to place any revenue measures on the ballot that would allow the voters to determine whether the remainder of the budget deficit should be filled through revenue enhancements. Boy, this is a real threat. We're the gods are coming down on this.
I hate it.
See, Gene, you don't get this kind of thing for your access resolutions. I have God on my side.
I do too.
And whereas, it is important to note that a large percentage of this revenue would actually, if adopted by the voters, not result from new taxes, but merely from extending current taxes that will otherwise be repealed. And whereas failure to enact measures that will raise sufficient revenue to balance the state 2011-12 fiscal year budget will almost certainly have a negative impact on every programmatic area of concern to those with visual impairments. And that impact may well be devastating in areas such as Medi-Cal, education, including special education, library service, and a broad array of social services programs, including rehabilitation. And whereas from its inception, the California Council of the Blind has consistently worked to ensure that the needs of Californians with visual impairments are met. And whereas we face perhaps the greatest threat in more than half a century to services that impact the daily lives of Californians who are blind or who have low vision, now therefore be resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization support efforts to ensure that there be no additional state funding reductions that jeopardize levels of service in areas that impact the daily lives of Californians who are blind or visually impaired. And be it further resolved that this organization authorize its officers, directors, and staff to take all necessary actions in furtherance of this resolution. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Another resolution. Shall we have a door prize? Because he hasn't found it. I beat him. Let's have a door prize. All righty. I'm hearing music from somewhere.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, I think
from heaven
from above on this position.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I know. Actually, I think I lost Ed, so Ed stepped out really quick, so no door prize. Jeff found the resolution. We'll do it after this one.
We'll do it. We got it. This is resolution 21A9 submitted by Artis Bazin, and it involves accessible absentee voting technologies. Whereas over 8 million California voters are registered to vote by mail, and whereas many Californians consider voting by mail a more convenient method for voting, and whereas absentee voting has come to represent approximately 40% of the vote in California elections, and whereas state legislation is being seriously considered to allow jurisdictions to adopt all mail voting, which would result in a severe reduction in the number of accessible voting machines available to voters with disabilities, And whereas Californians with visual impairments are unable, am I on the mic? Okay. Yeah. Unable to independently use an absentee ballot, and thus they do not have equal access to absentee voting. And whereas web-based accessible voting technologies are currently available and have proven effective in numerous jurisdictions around the U.S., and whereas web-based accessible balloting technology is not a system for online voting, but is merely a method by which an individual can fill out his or her ballot online and print out the completed ballot for mailing or turning into the precinct. And whereas, in addition to web-based balloting technologies, there exist telephonic voting systems that have proven to be an effective and secure method of enabling persons who lack computer training or access to vote privately and independently by absentee ballot. And whereas such a telephonic balloting system has proven effective in the state of Vermont, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of Blind Convention, blah, 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 that this organization support and endorse multiple options for accessible absentee balloting, including accessible web-based absentee balloting technologies and telephonic voting systems. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And is Lily or is Sarah in the room by any chance?
It's really raining now.
Yeah. Yeah, you can hear that.
It's raining hard.
Yeah, it's like a waterfall.
Ed went ahead and is actually taking someone over to the airport, so that's why he went away. Okay. Actually, I'm going to need to do a door prize. So the door prizes are in a box back here, I think. If you can pick a something and let me know what it is. And the red bucket.
All right.
What do we have?
We've got a name.
Oh, we got the prize first.
Oh, the door. Oh, where's the basket?
The box.
There's a box.
Yeah, you have to pick a prize.
Got the tickets anyway.
No.
Future considerations. We're moving right through these resolutions.
I've got a prize.
Okay, here comes a prize. What is the prize?
Greater Long Beach,
$20. Ooh, money. And we have a name, and who might that name
Mike
be?
Mike Del Rose.
Mike Del Rose. Del Ross, are you in the room? Mike Del Ross.
Oh, Long Beach.
Let's pick another name. Jeff says he went to Long Beach.
All right,
another name.
Elena Thompson.
Elena Thompson, are you here? Nope. Let's pick another one.
Not early.
Yeah.
And another one we have. Pinky Corral. I saw Pinky earlier.
Pinky, I believe they left.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh.
And I know Diane Phelps left because I supported
her. Oh, okay.
Diane Deutsch.
Deutsch. All right. You won money. And someone's singing, "You won the money." It's raining out there. Jeff, next resolution, please.
Okay, this is actually our last substantive resolution, as opposed to our two ones that we do annually. And this from your president and myself, I guess, on procurement of textbooks for elementary school students with visual impairments.
Yeah. No.
They agree up there.
Yeah, they're into procuring textbooks.
My older dog, she's got like the big issue.
Whereas for many years, the state has used a system for the procurement of
okay,
large.
Okay, let's
print-
have order, please. I don't like it
again.
Anyway. Okay, Jeff, start again.
Whereas for
like
many
it.
Years, the state has used a system for the procurement of large print and braille textbooks for elementary school students, under which various factors, including experience, can be taken into consideration. And whereas this system did not require all books to be obtained from one source, And whereas using multiple sources can be preferable for a variety of reasons, including the need to ensure that all large print and braille books are available to students in a timely manner, and to ensure the books in specialty areas such as math and foreign languages are formatted and produced in the proper manner. And whereas in 2011, the state has done away with this system and instead is using bidding processes that will not only allow single source bidding by the lowest bidder, but that will not contain criteria to judge whether or not an individual bidder is able to produce high quality books in a timely manner. And whereas the system is likely to result not only in braille and large print books not being available to students in a timely manner, but may well create situations where books do not meet the needs of students, either due to formatting or other issues. And whereas the state's need for physical integrity does not excuse the use of a system that will fail to meet the needs of its students who are blind or who have low vision. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization call upon the California Department of Education and the California Department of General Services to develop a system that will contain the criteria necessary to ensure that high-quality textbooks will be produced in a timely manner for elementary school students using large print or braille. And be it further resolved that this system be developed in conjunction with appropriate stakeholders, including but not limited to consumer organizations. It doesn't say, but it should. Consumer organizations, it needs to say, of the blind and visually impaired, teachers of the blind and visually impaired, and transcribers of large print and braille textbooks. And be it further resolved that copies of this resolution be sent to the Superintendent of Public Instruction and the Director of the Department of General Services. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Do we have a second?
And any I will insert that we passed this that should have been there.
Okay, do we have any discussion?
Yes.
Okay, we have a lady in the back. If you could raise your hand or stand up so that someone could get to you with a mic.
This is Joni. In the Education Committee yesterday, we discussed this for a little bit. And John Parasol, who does the ordering for the specialized media for all K through 12, he said that most of the he said that most everything is being nationalized, that all books are being... It seems like a dire thing, but most books have, the curriculum has been set across the nation for most of those textbooks, so that not just California has those textbooks, a lot of them are already proofed and gotten done by other states. So he can get more of the textbooks from other states without the cost of doing all the stuff here in California. So it looks like more drastic than it is. And he said that the production levels that he has last year have doubled in braille that he has ever had, and his budget is going down. So he has to do something to balance his budget. He does think he can get them from other sources. He doesn't think there's going to be a problem.
Okay, can I respond to that, Madam Chair? I think I can respond to that.
Go ahead.
Okay. This resolution is attempting to take a balanced view that looks at the concerns of the community of teachers, transcribers, and many others, parents, and that understands the need that what we care about in this organization is not, you know, we don't care to please any particular group. We just want to make sure that books get done on time and that they're the best possible quality we can get. So we want to make sure that the bidding system that they use has those elements. So, you know, on the one hand, the teachers and transcribers are going to paint the worst possible view of things. On the other hand, John Parasol, he runs that place. He's going to make it sound rosy. So, you know, do I accept either view as being necessarily appropriate? No, I don't think we do. We're very skeptical of either side on this. I think Donna would probably concur with that.
Yes.
So that's why we're trying to take a middle ground. We're not willing to let this rest, these changes, without making sure that whatever system we come up with is one that is best for the students, because that's all we care about.
Exactly. And Joni is just saying in the back that she wanted to paint the full picture, basically.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that, Joni. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Right. We have a lady calling from the floor. I think it's Judy. We can get a mic to her.
I just want to clarify, Joni, you are not saying that the Education Committee is disapproving of this resolution, are you?
No.
So has it taken a stand on this resolution?
No. Just to let you know what is happening on the other side, I don't think we heard that.
Okay.
Just to let you know what the other side was, because I'm not sure that we heard that side either, and I'm not sure where we stand, because you don't know really who to believe. It's two
right
ends of the spectrum.
And
sorry.
So
the issue is basically, which is also part of the reason that we wanted to take the middle ground, because we all agree, forgetting about either side of it, that we want to make sure that our kids have their materials on time and that they're quality. And that's basically what this speaks to. Any other discussion?
I might have missed this, but why was the original process abandoned?
Money.
Finances. Money.
Money. See. Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion or questions?
Call for the question.
All in favor of this resolution, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Thank you. Jeff.
Okay, so we now will turn to our... I have that other one ready to do something too. We will now turn to our form resolutions because 11 and 12 were withdrawn. So we are now up to 13, which relates to volunteers. Whereas the outstanding efforts of the volunteers at the Spring 2011 Conference and Convention, it was written there, I just didn't read it, of the California Council of the Blind have helped to make this event a truly special one. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, et cetera, et cetera, that this organization express its profound appreciation to each and every volunteer who participated at this conference and convention. And be it further, resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to our volunteers. And the committee heartily recommends a due pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So we had lots of seconds. Any discussion?
No. Awesome people.
All in favor of this resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Let's give a humongous hand for our volunteer.
You know, as I'm sure you know, Don and others, having worked as long as I have in the legal area of health, we're always hearing about the incredible shortage in the nursing field. You sure wouldn't have known it this weekend. I saw so many nursing students.
We had lots of nursing students. We had some people from the Sacramento group of Cal Walks. We had, of course, our AT&T Pioneer. And there may be a group that I might be forgetting, and I apologize for that, but everyone was wonderful. Thank you.
Madam President?
The Volunteer Center of Sacramento.
Oh, the Volunteer Center in Sacramento also. And someone's calling for the floor on my far left. Ann Kaiser, if we can get a mic to Ann Kaiser, there goes Lily.
Puppy Raisers.
Yes. Oh, was it? I don't have to say it now.
Okay. And we had help from the Puppy Raisers. Yay! I knew I was forgetting someone. Lily was almost there.
Last resolution. Madam Chair, if we're ready.
Yep.
Okay, hotel staff. Whereas the hotel staff at the DoubleTree Hotel in Sacramento has gone out of its way to make the Spring 2011 CCB Conference and Convention a truly outstanding event. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization expressed its profound appreciation to the staff of the DoubleTree Hotel. The committee recommends I do pass, and I so move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Let's give a huge hand to the hotel staff. Okay. Gee, that was our last resolution.
We need a motion to accept our report.
Do we have a motion to accept the report of the Resolutions Committee? Do we have a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, let's have a door prize. Okay, I don't have anyone for a door prize. Lily, or I can't remember. Oh. There she is. What is the door prize? We have a goodie bag. A goodie bag. Goodie, 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 goodie. Goodie, 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 goodie. Here we go. Let's see who it is.
The lucky guy, Abby.
Abby Schumann, where are you?
He can never say he never ends. He's here.
He's here. Yay. Sarah says she doesn't think he should win it after winning the big prize last night. For those who weren't at the banquet, Avi won grand prize, $1,000 on the sweepstakes. Okay, what I would like to know is if any committees want to come before the group this morning with any reports, and I know the Deafblind Committee has already let me know that they were prepared to give a brief report just so that you can know what's going on with that group. And David Hanlon is not here, but he did state that he has someone who would be willing to give the report on his behalf. Do we have, it's Roger Peterson, our second vice president. And Sarah's roller skating over there on her virtual roller skates with the mic. Roger.
I wanted to, I was saying that we ought to specifically acknowledge all the volunteers named Sarah.
Yay, Sarah!
There was a whole bunch of them. And I also wanted to find out if we wanted a resolution to say what we think of the architect who designed this hotel. But anyway,
this is the Winchester Mansion.
Right, yes.
Gene said it's the Winchester Mansion North.
I think so, yeah.
The Twilight Zone.
So the Deafblind Committee, or whatever we're going to call it eventually, met yesterday at 4:30. And again, we had David Jackson. He seems to be everywhere. He appears, and we had also a couple of other people that have not been involved in the committee, notably Sam Chen and Susan Hyatt, came to the meeting, and we talked about where we are on looking for funds. We know that John Ross is looking, trying to get Lions interested. And what, but what we want to do is, we want to get some funding to improve the ALD system, the assistive listening device system here, so that we can have assistive listening in all of the sessions, even in small rooms where there's no PA system. And so, and we have, you know, ways of doing that, and we are still searching for funds along those lines. And we also are interested in letting the membership in general know, and the community in general know, that people who have some potential hearing impairment, in addition to their visual impairment, should consider coming to our conventions, because we have some accommodation for them now, and we anticipate having more later on. I think that's the gist of what happened. Thank you.
Okay, does anyone have any questions for Roger? No hands. Okay. Thank you for that. I'm just trying to remember, do we need to do motions on committee, on these committee reports as well?
Madam President.
No? Gene? Is that Frank?
Yes.
Frank.
Point of inquiry.
Yes.
What was the result of the nominating committee report?
Oh.
That was given.
That was given yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be in the general session.
Where were you? If you were, you know, today's his last day. He's just kind of slacking. Just kidding.
Can we summarize it before?
Do you want to summarize it, Peter?
No, I wasn't at the meeting either.
Oh. But he has to get a chance. He was working.
Wow. Gee, should I ask every officer or every director if they want to help summarize the report? I actually did not write it down. I was there, but I did not write it down, so I don't have a report summary. Gene, I would like you to go ahead and... Well, Gene is feeding me in my ear here.
Secretary.
Okay. Folks came out of the nominating committee. Judy Wilkinson came out of the nominating committee as for the office of secretary. Roger Peterson
for second
vice. And I'm not getting any more food. Who else? We have. For Jerry Arakawa's seat, Robert Wendt came out of the nominating committee for that seat. And we have
Artis
Bison and Linda Perel and Foster Brown and Eric Smiley. And I do believe those are the five. Did I forget anyone?
No.
All right. So that is a summary of nominating committee. Everybody remember, see, it takes a village.
Pitchforks.
Gene says with pitchforks. Oh. Okay. Okay. Any other committees? Would any other committees want to give a brief report on how things are going? Okay. Hearing no committee reports.
Okay.
Okay, Gene Wood.
Committee on Access and Transportation, too. I hope you all enjoyed the last workshop we did on Friday morning. I got feedback on that that seemed to be fairly positive. The Division of State Architect's office has started the new
let me backtrack. The California Building Standards Commission, who has the responsibility of administering the code cycle, and I believe it's the 2013 code cycle, because that's by the time it should be adopted, any of these things, started the process just a few months ago. And of interest to us, the Division of State Architect, through this process, through the public comment, introduced a revision for the ATMs, automatic teller machines, and point of sales devices. They are right now integrating the 2010 specifications found in the new ADA design guidelines. That's a major step. And we also got into it. This is not finalized. This is just the beginning. Is the point of sale devices that all of them would have to have the tactile discernible keypad. Yeah. So now this is the start, okay? And it will go through public comments, and it will go on probably a two-year process. But at least letting you know this is the beginning. We will get the word out when it's an opportunity for you to comment on this. And the Division of State Architects staff are quite aware that just because if we get tactile keypad, that's not the absolute answer. That is just the first step inputting. We still need an output, just like we went through the ATMs, but we can unfortunately have to go the step by step, and there doesn't seem to be any manufacturers now producing with like an audible output like ATMs, but we're getting there, and I just want to let you know about that. The other thing is, last thing is the Federal Highway Administration has what's called manual uniform traffic control devices, which deals with traffic control devices, which is traffic signals, and other things like that. And they released their most recent edition was December of 2009, which said the effective date was December 2011, by which meant that every state, including California, would have to integrate new amendments into the California Manual Uniform Traffic Control Devices. And there's a lot of things of interest in there, and one is they were paying something about roundabouts, and I'm pleased to say that the walk pedestrian groups were like saying, okay, you know, let's go ahead with the roundabouts. And we had a quite lively discussion on the local listserv, and several state people in positions dealing with transportation and so forth. It was the first time they had ever heard that there was an issue about the blind, about roundabouts. And it seems like the pedestrian movement actually started hearing that. So they're going to start lobbying that there's something being done to address our needs. There's some split within the ranks. Some are saying, well, let's get some signals in there, like it's recommended in some federal public access, public right-of-way access guides. Oh, yeah, that's something else. Anyway, so that is something. But the other thing is there are going to be new, if we get it in, from the feds, requirements for accessible pedestrian signals, which will require to be the digitized signals, for example, Polara, Novax, Campbell. So you won't hear the overheads will no longer be permitted. And it would be the rapid tick sound that you hear in San Francisco. I know this controversy, but the feds have adopted this, that if the devices are 10 feet or more apart, there has to be the rapid tick. However, if they are close, less than 10 feet apart, then it has to be the verbal message that announces the walk phase. That is the federal, it's already been adopted, and that the state of California have that going through, which would mean we'd start to get some consistencies and standardization throughout California and the nation. It will not mandate the APSs, but at least we're going to have the things. If you do it, this is how you do it. And the those of you who are really following, like, want improvements along public sidewalks, you want to get some of the furniture off the walkway and other things there, sometime during the month of July of this year, another addition for public comment from the U.S. Access Board will be issued for the public right-of-way guidelines that you'll be able to comment. And we will be coming close to the 10th anniversary, the first version of it that came out. Maybe in 10 years we may get a final version and then find out it's obsolete. So that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gene. Okay, what I would like to ask folks, and we still have door prizes, by the way. I just wanted to let you know that. I'd like to tell folks to get your badges out, because we have folks going around collecting badges.
Yep, I'm in it.
And somebody else is in that same boat, too. I heard a oh no. So if you have your badges, get them out, and we'll go around and collect them. Why don't we have a door prize? We have bag of fudge and
a one-pound
gift certificate for C's.
Oh, that's mine.
Gene is saying that's his. So we won't let him pick a name. Let's see who it is. Joshua Gorman, are you in the room?
Nope.
All righty. And for those that have your ALDs, you'll need to turn those in, too, before you leave.
Linda Amate.
Linda Amate. All right. Okay, what I want to do is see if we have any old business.
Okay, just want to let you.
We still have door prizes, by the way.
Okay, bye.
Hearing no old business? Okay. New business. The next convention is going to be the last weekend again in October in Los Angeles. And it's the LA Crown Plaza. I do not have those dates. But it's a, Peter's going to be looking them up really quick.
It's what, Halloween.
But it
weekend.
Is Halloween weekend.
But not on Halloween.
But day. Not on Halloween day. So
I think so.
What? A ghostly time, someone says. What I want to do, because a number of people have been asking me throughout convention, and so Lily has given me our numbers for registration and such, because folks have been asking, and we have 38 people who registered on site, and we also have 117 folks that pre-reg, and we did receive a new member or two as a result of this convention. So those are some questions that folks asked me. How about another door prize?
I got the date here.
Oh, good.
What's it make? Tell what the dates are.
We have $20 in cash and a bag of fudge. Yes. Let's see. Let's see. Which one's my ticket? Do you have the Braille D on the ticket? Ann Kaiser, are you in the room? Yay, Ann. Well, y'all win now. Woo. Okay, Peter has the dates of convention.
They are October 27th.
October 27th.
Through the 30th.
Through October 30th. And it'll be at LA Crown Plaza. We all know that hotel. Yes, we do. And I'm hearing yays.
And also we'll be going there of fall 2012.
So we'll be back there fall 2012 as well.
Did I give them all, or do we have one more?
All right, we have one more door prize.
It's $25 and chocolate.
$25 in cash, and a bag of chocolates. Ooh, for those sweet tooths. Nancy McCurdy, are you in the room? Nancy McCurdy. I didn't know they let owls in the hotel. Who? Connie Bateman. Connie's not in here.
Nope, there's also Nancy now.
Foster Brown, are you in the room? Oh. Joni said, well, anyway. David Hanlon is not. He had to leave, and that's why Roger gave his report. So, more chocolate for me. Oops. Pampology! Yay! Do we have any announcements? Anyone from the floor, stand up and we'll get Mike to you.
This is a reminder that on Saturday the 28th, there will be an organizational meeting for the new Contra Costa County chapter. So if you know people, or you if you live in Contra Costa County, or you know people who live in Contra Costa County, sighted or blind, let them know about it. The details are on the California Connection.
All right. Great news. All right, we have another announcement. Somebody's on the roller skates.
Oh, there we go.
I think that's Lily.
Sheila Gunn Cushman. Tom Randall and Mary Beth would like to go to Amtrak and would wonder if anyone would split the cab fare with them. They are leaving at approximately 12:30, and I have
1 o'clock.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I was supposed to announce this and I forgot. So
Sheila, I didn't get a chance to call you.
Never mind.
Never mind. Wow, I thought there was going to be a debate on the floor and announcements. Whoa, talk about democracy run amok.
Watch your language.
Oh, no, it's Abby.
It's the lucky one. Just let you know that the fundraising committee is working on our fall convention sweepstakes. And hopefully we'll be able to have the tickets printed in August so you can get them out to the chapters.
Any other announcements? Abby won the $1,000 prize. He won the grand prize. Any other announcements? Oh, okay. Oh, Lord. Yes. Mudstrut reminder. 11:02. They are only going to be there until 12 o'clock. They are shutting down promptly at 12. If anyone wants to go up there and tell your story, they don't bite. Actually, people have really, we've received a lot of great participation. So 11:02. If you're the first one to get up there, there may not be anyone there. So you'll be in line if you go up. And we, yes, there are brochures. The do you need someone to take you? Oh, okay. We'll get some brochures. The brochures are also up there in 11:02, but Lily's running around in the roller skates, so she may have some right now. Any other announcements? Thank you very much for a wonderful, wonderful convention. And we need to have, I guess you guys love it here. No one's moving to adjourn. We have a move. Do we have a second? All in.
Discussion.
Oh, any discussion? I'm sorry. All in favor of adjourning this convention business meeting? Opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries. Thank you. Be safe.